I have it when Donnie came. So about 15 years ago, whenever Herman adopted this as their mission statement. Mission statement is what we're supposed to be focusing on and what we're to be about. Over the past few Sunday nights, we've been going through Bible study, and that's experiencing God. And it's served as a reminder to me that sometimes we let our selfish ways cloud our judgment, and we focus on self more than we should. Next week, everybody's going to be finishing up with the experiencing God study and praying about what to do. After praying about what to do next, I felt that we need to get together on Sunday night, May 21st, and discuss how God has spoken to you and what you feel the church is being led to do. So the 21st, which is the Sunday night after Mother's Day, we'll meet together. And if you didn't do experiencing God, still come, because you're still part of the body. And the body, we need to hear from the body. We need to hear what you feel like God is, the way God is directing us to love others, love God, and serve the world. Okay, so we'll meet together, and we'll have that short little thing about the missions team, and then we're going to talk about that. During the Bible study, I've heard several people talk about we needed a vision statement and what direction did we feel like God was leading us. And where do we... what does that look like? And so, after going through the study, we were talking, and like I said, I heard people say, you know, what is our vision statement? What are we doing? And actually, Dan, if you'll go to the next slide, actually, on March the 10th of 2016, we gathered together as a church. And we met, I think it was a Friday, Saturday, and then a Sunday, and we developed our vision statement. And the vision statement is intentionally living for God, worshiping in fellowship, unity, and relationship, embracing all generations and cultures with Christ's love, hungering for God's truth, furthering His kingdom. This is the second step in a mission statement. A mission statement is the big picture. The vision statement is how we're going to go about reaching that mission statement. And then next, the third part of this is the action plan. An action plan is a sequence of three steps that must be taken, or activities that must be performed well for a strategy to succeed. Like I said, God has laid this on my heart, and I've used this in my end of the ministry here at Herman since I've been here, actually. And it really works well in planning. And what it does, what an action plan does, is it gets everybody on the same page. It gets everybody going in the same direction. Okay, the first thing that an action plan needs is we need to know what will be done and by whom. Okay? Now, kind of Herman's DNA is kind of we'll talk about something, we'll discuss it, and we'll say, that's a great idea, and that's a great idea. And then a year or so later, we'll come back and we'll say, you know, this would be a good idea. And let's do this, and that's a good idea. But so what's happened is we haven't taken it to the next step. We hadn't put that third step in there of what will be done and by whom. And Everything we do as a church, we need to ask these three questions. Number two is, when will it be done? When are we going to do it? And we need to have these things set down a specific time. The third thing is, what specific funds are available for specific activities? A lot of times we are not able to do something because we don't think that we have the money. And then later on we realize, well, we did have funds for that. So what we'll have to, and what I do is, whenever I was working in the youth, I would take, for example, I would look at the calendar for the year. And I would say, for example, in July, we're going on a youth trip. We're going to go to Charleston, South Carolina, which we're going this coming July. And if you haven't signed up, there's some forms out front. And you can save $25 by doing it today. And by giving your deposit. But what I would do is I would look at that and I would think, okay, how does this apply to our vision statement and our mission statement? And intentionally living for God and worshiping and fellowship and unity and relationships, am I going to be able to embrace all generations and cultures? And are we going to be hungering for God's truth? And what I do during that week of camp needs to line up with that. Then I would take, and as my daily schedules, I would look and I would say, for example, on Monday we're going to do the Bible study and we're going to eat three meals. And then on Tuesday we may do an outing. We may go watch the Charleston River Dogs play baseball. And so, and all these different things, I put them down on a piece of paper, and I look and I make sure that they line up with what we're doing. And then out of that, I can take and do my budget. I'll know how much money it's going to cost me to go to Charleston for the week with the youth and do the events that we'll do that will accomplish our vision statement. And that's important because that way we stay centered. The first part of, and I wanted to break these down and look at our vision statement and kind of give you an idea of kind of the way I saw this. Intentionally living for God. Intentionally living for God. 1 Peter 1:16 says, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So what does that mean to us as church members as we look at intentionally living for God? Okay, the first thing is discipleship. Discipleship, that can be anything from one-on-one where you meet with an individual and you encourage that person encourages you. Hopefully you have someone that you can mentor, that you can help bring up. And then you have someone else who's old and wise, like TC, that can lift you up. And that discipleship also might be in a group Bible study that meets on a Monday night or a Sunday night or different things. These things here are what helps us to grow as individuals to intentionally live for God. Sunday school. Sunday school is a great arm of discipleship. It's a place to where we can grow and we can teach people about Christ. We can teach people how to live that standard of living that God wants us to. The second thing is accountability. We need accountability. Everybody needs accountability. We need to be held to a high standard. In our family, men, we need to be godly men. Like the Scripture says, we need to be godly men. Women, we need to be the godly mothers and wives and that God's called us to be. And we need to be held accountable. Even as a church, if you're a leader in the church, you need to be held accountable. If you're falling short of doing what God's called you to do and you've been asked to do as a church and you've been felt led to do as a church, then you need to step it up. You need to accept the encouragement. I won't call it criticism, but accept the encouragement from someone that may bring it to your attention. And because sometimes that's the only way we know. That's the only way we know. I'd much rather have someone come to me and tell me, Pastor Larry, you're falling short on this area. And do it as soon as it happens before waiting 6 months down the road until this hasn't got too far for me to change. You understand what I'm saying? We need that accountability. The next thing is intentionally adjusting your life to God. When things don't line up, we need to change it. We need to be intentional about changing our lives. It doesn't happen automatic. It's not this magic thing that happens whenever you get saved. It's still something that we have to change. We have to change so that we can become a person of integrity, a person who reflects Christ, someone who looks like Jesus. Pages are sticking together there. And then the second part of that mission statement is worshiping in fellowship, unity, and relationships. Worshiping in fellowship, unity, and relationships. Okay, next slide. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 says, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. So worshiping in fellowship, unity, and relationships. The first thing, church gatherings, socials, going out to eat after church, etc. You know, on Sunday mornings, sometimes after church, a lot of us, we go out to eat for lunch. And we'll go out with our family or with a few friends, and sometimes we forget about other people. We forget to ask our visitors, you know, what are you guys doing for lunch today? Can we take you to lunch? Can we encourage you by doing that? We need that unity. We don't need to be pulling against each other and going in separate directions. We need to be headed in the same direction, and that direction is the way God wants us to be as a church. He wants us to worship and fellowship and unity and relationships. The second one, take time to call each other during the week. Encourage each other. We have, we used to have this thing called care groups, and some people are great at it, and some people are not so great. Jackie is wonderful. She sends out these cards to some of us, and it just makes your day because you know that she makes these cards, and sometimes you look at them and you go, did she make these or did she buy them? These are really nice, and it's encouraging to know that during the week, somebody was thinking about me, praying about me and Teresa, and thought enough of us to send us a card. And it blesses your heart. It gives you that little burst of energy that you need. But we do. We need to, as Sunday school classes, we need to get back into that care group mode of calling people who are not in Sunday school that week or whatever. We need to be serious about that. Okay, I don't see him, so I can say it. Someone was talking about how they wanted to be trying to think of the word that they used. They wanted to be do life together at church. They're a young family, and they want to do life together at the church. They want to not just meet on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, but they want to be involved with the church family's life. And the older you get, the different dynamics your life has in it. And when you don't have children, you have a lot more free time than you do if you have small children. And different, you know, your time and your life just changes. And so we need to be looking out for people and encouraging them and doing life with them to where we don't just go home and come back, go home and come back. And because sometimes we're in a controlled setting, you don't get to mingle as you normally would. But do that. Then the third thing is look for the places that God is working, not where Satan is. If God is at work, and if God is blessing, then you can almost bet the house that Satan or something negative is going to be working also. Sometimes we have a tendency as people to be the negative nanny and to focus on the things that are not always going like they should, or like we think they should in our minds. But what we need to do is we need to look at how God's blessing our church and how God's blessing us, how the numbers of young families are growing. We, on Sunday nights, there's babies crawling all over the floor in the nursery. There's youth down in the basement. And there's young families here. We need to open our eyes and see that. We need to see where God's blessing. We need to see where God's encouraging. And not just, somewhat not just the negative thing. And I don't mean that as a bad thing. It's not a beat you up kind of thing. But it's just, I come on Monday nights to a prayer meeting. And we're praying for revival here at the church. And those who come on Monday nights to that prayer thing will agree with me. But we see God answer prayers more than those who don't come on Monday nights. Because we're praying for specific things, for revival in the church, for God to do certain things in certain groups of people. And we're seeing that happen. We're seeing God at work. And so That's great and encouraging. So the next part of the mission statement or vision statement is embracing all generations and cultures with Christ's love. I've got written down here, the older you get, the more you notice generations and cultural differences. Would you agree? Yeah, okay. The next slide says that embracing all generations and cultures with love. Matthew 5, 4 through 38 says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So, let's see, I think there's one more slide to that. Go ahead, next slide. Loving like Jesus. We must love those who dress different and look different, even believe different. I don't know if you've noticed it yet, but Union County has a lot of different cultures in it. If you go out to even to the Monroe Mall, we had to go out the other night and purchase a Boston Red Sox hat for Chris to take to, and I'm a Yankees fan, so yeah, so that was kind of hard. But had to get this Boston Red Sox hat to take over to France to him. And as we were walking through, I was reminded of in this little small county that's not so small, there's all kinds of different cultures, different people groups, and everything that's here. And even though they're different than we are, we've got to love them. Cheryl brought up this morning about the Muslims, and we've got to love them. We've got to love them because it's so important. The next slide there says, if you are a follower of Christ, then you're different. And thankfully, someone loved you enough to pray for you and tell you about Jesus. We go out and we see a lot of people dress different, especially the young generation. And I was thinking this morning about some of the older generation here, that at one time in your life, you were that younger, rebellious kind of doing these crazy dances and thinking these crazy thoughts that the young generation is doing now. The world's changing around us. It's not necessarily good, but it is an opportunity for us to tell others about Jesus. I know I was different. I remember Teresa's dad saying that and this was during a time when jeans were popular to have patches and stuff on them. And they were funny. They were patches that we put on there for decorations. And the bell bottoms and stuff. And he said, well, if he ain't got a better pair of breeches than that, I'll buy him a pair. He was from the country, and I wasn't. We were different as night and day. And it's hard when somebody's different than you are. They see things different. They don't always agree with us. And, we have to love them like Jesus loved. If we don't, then it's wrong. The next slide is a familiar verse. This is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And as I thought about that, I thought, God loved the world. Who is the world? What is the world? We're the world. This crazy, messed up world is us. We are the world. I didn't mean to do that. Somebody asked me if I was going to sing, and I said, no, I'm not going to sing. But the third or fourth part to that is hungering for God's truth and furthering His kingdom. So, hungering for God's truth and furthering His kingdom, Matthew 5 and 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Basically, if you want it, you can get it. If you want spiritual growth, you can have it. You can have it. So Matthew 28:19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the earth. Do you remember when Jesus said this? Do you remember when he said it? It was whenever he was getting ready to do what? To ascend, to go away. So that must be pretty important. Because if you're getting ready, if Jesus is getting ready to go somewhere, to leave, the last thing he would say, I would think would be very important. Wouldn't you agree? And it's something that we need to have in our heart, is to make disciples of all nations, of all cultures, of embracing the generations and cultures, hungering for God's truth. Okay, let's see the next one here. Matthew 6:33, but first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Okay. As we've heard before, this used to be, I think Donnie's kind of buzzword things, is it's not about us. It's not about us. And really, it's not about them. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about the kingdom of God and what we do to lift and to encourage and to build the kingdom of God. The next one says we need to care more about lost people than we do our numbers on Sunday morning. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many times did you invite somebody to come to church this morning this week? How about last week or this past month? Well, we don't have a pastor. That's no excuse. We're a body of Christ. We still have a head. That head is Jesus. We still have leadership. That's the Holy Spirit. So there's no excuse to invite somebody to come to church so that they can hear about Jesus and to be loved by others. Also, we need to share Jesus with others as we come in contact with them. We need to be intentional. Intentional evangelism solves all of our problems. We have empty chairs. Do evangelism. We don't have workers. Do evangelism. Bring them in, disciple them, and train them. We don't have enough money to do all that. Do evangelism. Bring them in, teach them to give. Teach them to love Jesus and to give. And it's a time in the life of Herman that we change our DNA. Okay? We need to love people in Waxhaw, in North Carolina, and the world enough to tell them about Jesus. It's bigger than just Herman. Sometimes we get caught up in the mentality of what we do, we want to do it because we support, because we are Herman family. And that's good, but it's bigger than that. The world and God and the kingdom is bigger than 9713 Lancaster Highway. It's bigger than that. And we've got to get that mindset that we're to be about God's kingdom and to reach out. So along that line, on May 21st, 2017, we're going to have a town hall type meeting. Town hall meaning that we will talk and share about what God's been speaking to us about as a church. I want you to pray over the next 2 or 3 weeks about what God's been speaking to your heart as a church and as an individual. Maybe God's calling you to the mission field. I don't know. I think, well, maybe I'm too old. No, that's not a good excuse. Whenever Teresa and I went, the gentleman that and his wife was the first time that they went, and they were in their late 80s. And so I believe we've probably got some in our late 80s, but if you're not called to go, then you are called to serve in other ways. But do that as you're praying for the next week. Pray about how God spoke to you as an individual, and how to you concerning the church, and how God wants us to support our summer missionaries. I had mentioned earlier, we've got a group that's going to tell others about Jesus. And whenever one part of the body goes, that's exactly what it is. It's a part of the body. If you're a follower of Christ, if you're a believer, if you have given your life to Christ and you follow Him, and you've allowed Him to be Lord of your life, then you're part of the body. And we need to support our missionaries that we go. We need to do that as a church. We need to make that a DNA change, a part of our change in our budget, that we make a line item where we're going to intentionally love others, serve Christ, and love. All right, I done got messed up on it. Let me go back. But we're going to love God, love others, and serve the world. And how are we going to do that? We're going to do it with an action plan. We're going to make plans in advance on how we're going to do that. That way we don't look dumbfounded. And we can go and do that. But as we close, I just, you know, God speaks through His Word. And His Word is in John 3:16 that He loves you. He loves you so much that He died for you. And He wants to have a relationship with you. And so, if you'll, Ms. Sharon, come forward. And if you'll just take time and just think, where are you in your relationship with God? Are you walking with Him? Are you, I'm sorry, you can stand. Are you walking with Him? Are you intentionally trying to follow Christ? And promises and oaths and coming to the altar and saying, God, I'm going to serve You today. I'm going to do this today. I repent, I turn. Do that with a pure heart, with intentions. And know that God loves you and that He wants you to walk with Him daily, and He wants to have that relationship with you. And if you need to, just you can come to the altar, or you can stay in your seat, just however.